CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We get together every weekday afternoon at this very time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible and encouraging you to read your Bible. And when you come across something you don't understand, hey, we're here for you to help you step through that, understanding that, again, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, today in the churches in America and around the world, people are just reading the verses that they like and disregarding what the Bible really says. And again, balance is everything in the Word of God, and the Bible will balance itself if you read its entirety. So if you come across something that's maybe got you or your friends questioning, hey, this is why we're here. We don't claim to know everything, but we've been through the Bible many times, and we know those topics generally very well. And so we just invite you to give us a call, and we'll do our very best to show you how to show your friends what the Bible says about those topics. Joining me today, special guest and featured CSN speaker on the Weekend Times, we have with us Scott Parker from Festus, Missouri, outside St. Louis, and hi and welcome from Calvary Chapel.
Hello, Mike. It is great to be with you here on Monday as we start another week of answering Bible questions. And so anyway, we had a blessed Father's Day weekend as we worship the Lord together. And you know, Mike, usually on Father's Day, I'm teaching, you know, through the Bible as we do, right? And so yesterday I did take some time and we went to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 and shared a special topical, yet we still went through the text, message on Father's Day yesterday, which was wonderful. And but anyway, so Mike, I know it's a little late, but happy Father's Day to you.
Well, happy Father's Day to you again, and I pray you had a good time as, again, so important. As we know that there is such an attack on families in America. Mm-hmm. Why is that, you ask? Well, first of all, I think it's interesting that God wants to, for us to relate to Him as our Heavenly Father. So you want to destroy the father image. Number two, it destroys a nation. You see, the Bible was written knowing what holds fabric of society together, what holds communities together, what makes a nation a nation. And when you violate those things, it is the end of a nation, as we see our own nation, unfortunately, friends, ending. Now, you say, oh, you say, no, it's true. We are spending $1 trillion a year now. When I hear politicians, our president, how wonderful our economy is, that is a lie, and there's no other way to say it. When you're spending $1 trillion of money that we do not have to prop up an economy that is failing, and then to tell people it's doing well. No, if it was doing well, we would be putting $1 trillion in the bank every year. But it's not that way. You see, deceit reigns supreme now. And again, I want to just encourage you, you might check out this on your YouTube. You might look up Jim Jordan as he debates different people of the interior of the United States, the different law enforcement agencies, and how they will never give an answer. It's a simple yes or no question. They can't answer it because it indicts them. And so it's really tragic to really understand how far our whole justice system now is completely gone. Again, watch those on Jim Jordan as he interviews these different people, congressional interviews, and you'll see how bad it really is. What, of course, the rotten American news media won't tell you, which they should be telling you, but again, they have an agenda too. So being about your father's business in these days that we live, we just want to encourage you to give us a call, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. We'll get to your question today. We got a line open. If you want to jump on, let's go to Bob in Roswell, New Mexico. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Pastor, for taking my call. The other day, I was sharing the gospel with a young man that when I was finished speaking with him, he asked me a very tough question, and ask him how she died, but you know, I gave him my condolences, and I said, he asked me a question. He said, after I shared the gospel with him, he said, "Bob, I know that my little girl is in heaven," and he said, "when I die, if I should go to heaven," and of course he spoke a little bit more about that, but he said, "when I die and see my little girl in heaven, will she be 18 months old? Will she be a little bit older or a lot older?" And I said, "Sir, that's a great question. I don't know the answer."
Well, the Bible says we'll be known as we're known, but we're going to be known with a lot more knowledge than we have now. I don't believe that we're going to be, you know, 80 years old when we die, when we go to heaven. I believe we're going to be just the right age, very similar to the age that God created Adam in the garden. Now, very quickly, I know a lot of people, they get angry with God. I did a funeral many years ago, and it was a little boy that died, and the father was very angry. And he said to me, "Where was God when my son died?" And I looked at him and I said, "You know, the same place he was at when his son died." You see, we're all placed on this earth for a purpose. Jesus came to take away the sins of the world. You're on this earth for a purpose as well, and so are babies. And maybe sometimes it's through very premature deaths that we see with young children and babies to remind us all that tomorrow's not promised to any of us. And once we accomplish what God has called us to do, there's no better place to be than in heaven. We were reading yesterday in the book of Revelation. John is chapter 1. He says, "And I fell at his feet as I was dead." I fell at his feet as dead. And I shared, better to be dead at the feet of Jesus than alive anywhere else. And I really think that's important. But I believe we'll be known as we're known. You know, I oftentimes think about this question. I think about my grandfather, and he was married to my grandmother. And he saw her when he married her in her 20s, beautiful. And I knew her as an old lady. If I was in heaven and I was to look at my grandma at 20 years old, 25 years old, I would not recognize her. I wouldn't know who she is. So I don't know how we're going to be known as we're known. All I know is that's what the Bible says we will be. And I think there'll be enough similarity and enough understanding and enough wisdom supernaturally that we'll be able to discern who's who in heaven. Now, in other words, I don't think we're going to have name tags in heaven. Your thoughts?
That's right, Mike. And you know, I think the thing we need to remember too is when it comes to eternity, there will be no time as we know it now here. So when we're in heaven with the Lord, whether we go by death or we go by the rapture, you know, once we go into that realm and we go into that you know, that kingdom of God, there's going to be no time in the sense that we know it now. Now, I do realize that, you know, in the millennial reign, when we return with Jesus and he sets up his kingdom 1,000 years, yeah, but that's here on earth. But then also when you get to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, you see there's no moon, there's no stars, sun and stars and the moon as such. But what's interesting, it gives you the idea that eternity has no days, which means if it has no days, then there is no time. And so I say that because, when a believer dies, a baby dies, or a believer dies and goes to heaven, I don't believe that now that they're in the heavenly realm, now they are with the Lord, that there's any time in the sense of as we know it here, which means if there's no time, there's no age. And I think the thing we have to remember too is when it comes to aging, the process of aging, is actually part of the curse of sin upon man. So because what happens is, you know, now after Adam sinned, when we're born, we literally begin to die. And our time is limited here on earth because we're living on in this earthly realm that's been affected by the curse of sin. So I think that's important to understand. And the reason I say that is because, you know, Mike, you brought up 1 Corinthians 13, which I just love that. And it does. It makes it very clear. And there's passages that do make it clear that when we're in heaven with the Lord, whether it's in heaven that exists now after we die or when the rapture happens, or it's the new heaven, new earth, we're going to be in that. We are, as believers, first of all, let me say this, we're going to be in glorified bodies. Even those who die now, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you see that though our bodies are in the ground or if they're cremated or whatever, they're still on earth, that when we get to heaven and we're with the Lord after we die, we do have some sort of spiritual body in heaven. So all those who have passed away in Jesus, or, you know, children or babies, who have not reached the age of accountability and have not had the opportunity to, you know, actually understand the gospel, receive the gospel, they're in heaven. What's interesting is the Bible does mention, as I said, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, read the first several verses of that chapter, and he says, when we do get to heaven after we die, when we lay down this tent, which is this human body, and we go to be with the Lord, because that's the very passage that says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, Paul says, we are not going to be unclothed. We're not going to be naked. He says, and what he's referring to is we're going to have some sort of a body that is spiritual, but yet still has a physicality to it. So we know that. And then also, of course, we know when Jesus raptures the church and at the same time resurrects all the dead believers, we're all going to receive a glorified body, which the Bible says will be like unto Jesus' glorious body. So when we're in heaven, whether it's after we die or we're with the Lord after the rapture happens and the resurrection takes place and we receive, basically a new body or a glorified body, I don't believe that glorified body or the body we receive while we're with the Lord is not subject to time, which means it's not subject to age. And there would really be, as far as I can see, no biblical grounds or even a logical reason why, if that's so, why the Lord would, you know, continue to make someone live for eternity at the age they were when they died, because that means then people would be in heaven as infants, and that means they would be forever infants. Or if they died at 105 years old, you know, they would be that age for eternity. You don't see that. I like what Mike said. You know, when God created Adam, how old was he? Well, it gives us every indication that he was a man in his prime. And that was the Garden of Eden. That was paradise before man sinned. And what I do believe is the Bible bears out, especially on the new heaven and new earth, that is going to be paradise restored. And so I believe that all of us, when we go to heaven, whether it's after we die or we are raptured and after the resurrection of the believers and we all are with the Lord in heaven as if we know it now, I don't believe at all that there's going to be any aging, and that we will all be in our prime. And the reason I say that is because, again, Mike, you brought up 1 Corinthians 13, where it says we will know as we're known. So we will know each other. But the thing is, it's interesting because Paul says in verse 10 of that chapter, he says, but when that which is perfect has come. And the word perfect there is speaking of the perfection of the eternal state. That when we are with the Lord and we're in the eternal state, everything's going to be perfect. It's going to be the way God intended it to be. And I take that to understand also that means, you know, how we're going to exist. We're going to exist exactly the way God intended us for when he originally created Adam. So I do hold to that idea that when we get to heaven, we will, as far as age is concerned, we'll be in our prime age. And as far as our condition, oh my goodness, we're going to receive a new glorified body. So I think we have a lot of scriptures we could go through to bear that out. So Mike, I'll hand it back over to you.
I hope that helps.
It does. And thank you for your answers. I'll share those with this gentleman.
Bob, stay on. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Perhaps you can pass them along to him as well. And again, we're here for you. If you need us, give us a call.
Let's go to John. Mike?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. There's one other thing that I wanted to tell Bob too. Hey, Bob, if you're witnessing to this man and he's an unbeliever, you may want to share with him that the fact that his daughter's in heaven is another motivation. It shouldn't be the sole motivation, but this is even more motivation for him to get his life right with God through faith in Jesus so that he knows that he has the assurance of eternal life so that one day he can see his daughter again. So, because you were kind of giving us the idea here that you're witnessing to him and he may not be a Christian, because he said, you know, if I make it to heaven, you know what? And I don't mean to, you know, use his situation as some kind of emotional thing to drag a confession of Christ out of him. But I tell you what, this is a good opportunity to share with him. You know what? The Bible gives every indication. That's right. Your daughter is in heaven. And, you know, you want to see her one day. And that would even be more of a motivation. You know, I think when we have people in heaven that we want to see, number one, we want to see Jesus. That should be our motivation. We want to see our Savior and live with him forever and worship him and serve him forever. But I think, too, it gives us even more extra motivation when there's people that we love and our family members and those that we love in our life through with the Lord. That should even give us more motivation to really follow Jesus so that we can be reunited with him one day. So, Mike, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I just thought that would be a good way for Bob to see that this may be a door for him to really be able to witness this man and lead him to Christ.
Amen. Hope that helps. And let's go to John, Pendleton, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Yes, I've called many times, but here's my son who lives in Pasco, Washington, has heard under the radar that by the end of the year, the United States will go into cryptocurrency and will be away from the petrodollar. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's been going on under the scenes?
Absolutely. And here's why. Because we're printing money that we have nothing to back it up over. This is what's causing everybody's inflation. Now, somehow, I don't know how these people that are in office right now think. I don't even know if they know what day it is. And I'm being very serious here. When you spend money you don't have anything to back it up for, then it's simply determined by them. Fiat currency is what it's called, where it is it's just slugs. It's just pieces of paper. And this is where the problems are. Now, remember, back in 1963, a quarter, a half dollar, silver dollar were made out of silver. That is globally set. Everybody today in the world, right now, silver is trading right about $30 an ounce. And so a quarter is almost $8, $7.75 or something is what a silver 25-cent quarter is worth that was made in 1963. Why, as a foreign nation, would I want to buy things from America, have them give me their greenbacks, the American dollar, only to have it inflate away? Now, again, since Joe Biden took office, this is fact. $100, December 30th or 31st, 2020, to right now, $100 is only worth $80. That's right. That's what just that. And they go, oh, inflation only went up 3% last month. Well, that's 3% on top of all the other inflation over the last 3.5 years. That's why a new car, a new Toyota Camry, 2020 Toyota Camry, new hybrid, $24,000. Now that same car is about 32,000, 31,000, something like that. I don't know the exact numbers, but much more than just 20%. Now the list was higher than that, but if you went into a dealer, you could get them to give you one for about 24,000. Now, this is what's happening to everybody. All your money that you put in the bank to retire on, this happened in Mexico, 1993. You think about somebody in Mexico putting a few pesos away for their retirement. 8 pesos to the Mexican dollar, or 8 pesos to the American dollar, is what it was when I was in high school. In 1993, it was over 3,000 pesos to the Mexican dollar or American dollar. So this is simply inflation. And this is exactly what our nation is doing. Well, we're going to spend our way into prosperity. You know, that has never worked in the history of the world. And this is what they plan on doing. This is how they're going to get rid of the national debt, where a loaf of bread is $40,000. Oh, you're making $900,000 a year. But a loaf of bread, this is what it is. This is how crazy it is. If you're older, you remember a loaf of bread was 25 cents. Not anymore. See, this is why when your money's not tied to anything, it is absolutely detrimental to all citizens. Don't keep voting for these clowns that do this. I'm serious. They're destroying your heritage. They're destroying your inheritance. They're destroying your savings. And this is where the big problem comes. Nobody else in the world wants this funny money anymore, because it's not what it's worth this month. It isn't going to be worth that much next month. So why would I want a bunch of American dollars for products that they make when it's all going to inflate away because we have a government completely out of control? Friends, you can't spend $1 trillion a year and not have it completely bankrupt your nation. So they don't want American dollars anymore. We're out of control. So they're looking for something else to replace it. Now, the Bible says we're headed for a one world order and a one world currency. Well, how is that going to happen with the American dollar in the way? These people are working overtime to destroy America, overrunning our borders, making your money worth nothing. Law and order out the window. I mean, that's gone. Let's face it. Look at the crime nationally. It's crazy. This is the destruction of your nation. And this is what they want. This is why I believe they hate President Trump so bad. Is because he stood for America. He loved America. You don't just let anybody that wants to break into your nation be immediately rewarded with $3,000 a month of your tax dollars in the name of welfare. But that's what they're doing. We're spending too much money. And because of that, no one wants American dollars. And you don't believe me. Look at something on eBay and then look at it next week. It's usually $5 or whatever it is more than it was the week before. Why? Because our spending is out of control. And again, when you stop to think, I shared this before, but my kids were watching The Andy Griffith Show, made in 1962. And Andy Griffith looks at Opie and says, "Now, Opie, you go out and mow the lawn and I'll give you a shiny quarter." My kids looked at me and said, "A quarter to mow a whole lawn? Are you kidding me?" And I had to explain to them that in 1962, 63, a quarter was equivalent to almost $8. See, we don't realize that. It's like the frog in the warm water. We don't realize we're going to boil to death. Because we see this over, but I'll tell you, when you go to buy a house now, you see it. When you see interest rates, oh, well, you know, and you listen to the liberal news media, oh, things are good. No, they're not good, friends. That's where they're lying to us. And they're professional liars. They lie there with their red, white, and blue studios, all the while for the destruction of your nation. Got to be aware of it. And it's true. There's no way around it. Why would I want to lend as a bank somebody money at 5% like on a house when inflation will I'll be actually giving them money at the end of the year because inflation is greater than that. We're having the worst inflation right now in the last 3.5 years since 1948. That's how bad it is. All because of out-of-control government spending. And there's no other way for it. This Inflation Reduction Act was just smoke and mirrors. It was just a painted pony. Until they stop giving away free money. Well, no, but you see, you don't understand, Mike. We're out buying votes. Vote for me. Everything is free. And America, who's more concerned about who's dancing with the stars than themselves going into slavery for the rest of their lives, don't care. Well, the Bible talks about this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth has no meaning in our government right now. Look at the way they all lie. Do you realize what Trump was indicted on? By the way, everybody was past the statute of limitations. In other words, you should never have stood trial for that. But you see, we don't have law and order anymore. This is why people murder people and they're back out on the street. Do you ever see that? You know, where some guy guns down 5 people and he's back out on the street before the ink dries on the paperwork in the police station. This is the problem that we have, and it's not going to go away. Work for the night is coming when no one can work. I don't like telling people stuff about stuff like this. I've had people write me, say, well, Mike, this program should be all about just Bible answers. I couldn't agree more. But until we realize we're running out of time, and if we look at the facts and the data at hand, we need to be about our daddy's business more now than ever before. Hey, we're coming up on a break, everyone. We don't want you to go away, and we're going to have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
I was like, oh, wow, I hear the little heartbeat, because they have a heartbeat when they're like little baby. So I'm like, oh, wow, this is real.
When this young mom came into a preborn network clinic, she was confused with nowhere to turn. After meeting with the counselors and seeing her baby on ultrasound, she chose life.
If I hadn't saw the ultrasound, it would have been a totally different picture. And I think about this when I look at my daughter, I start tearing up. She will never be here.
Preborn is there for moms in crisis, offering love, support, and free ultrasounds. When a young mother in crisis meets her baby on ultrasound, life becomes very real. And 80% of the time, she will choose life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Monday as we start off this brand new week with Scott Parker. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, and we were speaking with John when we went to the break about, well, what's happening with the American dollar, how it's going to affect everybody, but it's an indicator of America now totally failing. We do not have anything to back up the paper we keep printing. John, I hope that answered it for you. And we might have lost John over the break, but John, I hope that answered it for you. Let's go to Karen, Bend, Oregon.
Hi, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call. I have someone, a friend, that was working on his salvation, and he brought to my attention a Bible verse that he read in a local pastor's devotional. And I think it's what the pastor wrote in response to the Bible verse, which is 1 Corinthians 3:15. The pastor said, "Everyone who understands that Jesus is the foundation of life will be saved."
Well, it's not that you understand it. It's that you believe in him. The word believe there means to put all your faith, trust, and hope in. The Bible says the demons believe. They acknowledge Christ. They're not saved. The Bible says they believe and tremble, but they're not right with God. So just having a consciousness of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, that will not save you. It's where you put all your faith, trust, and hope in him. Now, you hear the breakups on everybody that's calling in. There's something wrong with the internet right now in our area. And so this is why it's clipping on the phones. So it is not your phone, Karen, or anybody else's. So when you talk, you might want to talk kind of slow so we can get all of it. Is that part of what your question is?
Yes, part of it. So a friend of mine, he is interpreting this Bible verse based on what the pastor said. He thinks that some shall be saved by fire. And I don't know how to...
Yeah, that's a misinterpretation. Your thoughts?
Yes. And what that's speaking of there, 1 Corinthians 3:15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. What Paul is dealing with there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning there in verse 12 down to verse 15, he's speaking of the judgment that believers will go through before Christ, standing before Christ to receive rewards for what we have done for him. Okay, this is what usually Bible scholars refer to as the bema seat of Christ, and it's actually the Greek word bema, and the word bema simply means a raised platform. And so what it's speaking of the raised platform that in the first century judges would sit upon whenever they would make judgment. The judges that would judge like the Olympic Games, even in ancient times, they would sit on a raised platform called a bema, or we call it a bema, and they're the ones that are judging the competition and giving everybody their gold, silver, and bronze medals. In that day and time, they didn't receive the medals. What they received was a crown of laurel wreaths. But in the what was called the agora in the Greek-Roman world, that was the marketplace. That's where they held court at, and a judge would sit on a bema seat. And that was a place, a bench was up on a raised platform. So what this is telling us is this, is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul actually said that all of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The word judgment there, judgment seat, the word seat's bema, it's the judgment seat of Christ. And that judgment seat actually speaks of two things. It speaks of how every person, and Paul says everyone, believers and non-believers, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat of Christ. Now, for unbelievers, that will happen at what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 20. That's where that occurs. That occurs at the end, after the tribulation, after the millennial reign. Then there's the judgment seat of Christ, where Christ will sit on his throne and he will judge all the unbelievers. But before that occurs, after the rapture, during the 7-year tribulation, all believers will that are raptured to heaven and that are resurrected from the dead will stand before Christ, not in order to be judged for our sins, because if we were being judged for our sins, we wouldn't be in heaven. You see what I'm saying? We would be in the later judgment to be judged and then actually condemned to the lake of fire. Everyone in hell will go through that judgment. This judgment that Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 3, he's talking about the judgment of believers in heaven where we will receive rewards for what we have done in the name of Jesus, for the sake of Jesus as believers. Now, he will judge all of our other works as believers. Now, all of our sin has been dealt with through faith in Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sins. We put our faith in him. Our sins are forgiven. They're washed away by the blood. But what this judgment will be, again, it will be a judgment of how we lived our lives as Christians. And for those who serve the Lord with everything they had, serve the Lord with everything God gave to them in this life, they will receive a good reward. It talks about building your life, number one, on the foundation, which is Christ. In verse 11, that means being saved, being born again. That's what that's speaking of. There's no other foundation that anyone can lay except for Christ. That's the way we're saved. But then after we're saved, we actually build upon that foundation in the sense of building up our rewards for eternity. And so this is part of our inheritance as believers, are the rewards we're going to receive from Jesus when we go to heaven. For believers who are faithful to the Lord in serving him, with and faithful in their stewardship of their time, of their talent, the gifts that God has given to them, and their treasure, their financial goods, their finances, the worldly goods God has given to them. Those who are faithful in using those things for the glory of God, they will get a reward. For all of those who are Christians, they're saved, but they're not faithful to the Lord in the daily, you know, living out their life as a Christian and using what God has given to them for his glory. It says here, okay, they'll be saved. This isn't a matter of sin. It's a matter of stewardship. It's not a matter of salvation. It's a matter of stewardship. And for those who are not good stewards of what God gave them here, then they will either get a small reward or get none. And that's what it means when it says that each one's work will become clear that day, the day we stand before Christ, the Bema Seat judgment. All of it's going to be revealed because all of our works that we've done as believers will be set through a fire. The fire speaks of the judgment of God. This fire speaks of Christ judging our works. And then whatever comes through that fire, because, you know, those who are not faithful in their stewardship as believers, in verse 12, it actually says, at the end of verse 12, it says they're building their life with wood, hay, and straw. But believers who are faithful to the Lord and being good stewards of what God has given them, they're building on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. And what can survive a fire? Well, wood, hay, and straw won't. But gold, silver, and precious stones are only made more pure by fire. And so good stewardship is gold, silver, and precious stone. You know, unfaithful stewardship is the wood, hay, and straw. And so Jesus will judge our works. Again, this has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with the reward he's going to give us for our stewardship while we're living on this earth as believers. So, Mike?
Amen. I hope that answers it for you.
Yeah, it does. Thank you so much, you guys.
Karen, God bless you. Stay online if you like. Send you out some books, some DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Share them with your friends. Let's go to Rick, Newport, Washington. Hi, welcome.
How you doing?
Good. How may we help?
Well, I just want to make a couple comments, please. God's pulling his wrath out of America because of our sexual morality.
We're catching about every other word. We have difficulties. If you can say it again very slowly, that will help. Rick, are you there?
Yeah, but I want to make a comment.
Okay.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1, about verse 10 to the end. God is pouring his wrath out on America because of our sexual immorality. We've embraced it. God's judging America.
I believe that. I believe that. And you know, there's two thoughts of this. One, you depart from God's truth. The natural result is pain and sorrow. Then there is God's wrath that is poured upon nations for their ungodliness. And certainly we see in the Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah. We see even the nation of Israel as they turn their back on God, how God would deliver them into the hand of the Babylonians and into the hand of Egypt and all these different things that happened in their history. The Bible tells us these are the problems of going sideways. To whom much is given, much is expected. It's one thing to not know God's truth. It's another thing to know God's truth and then rebel against us. And I believe this, unfortunately, is where America is at right now, where absolutely nothing makes any sense. I don't fear Joe Biden or any. I fear an American populace that would vote for people that obviously are destroying a nation. Why would anybody on this earth vote for people that believe to just let your borders be overran? I don't understand this. To me, it makes no logical sense why you would welcome the destruction of your nation unless these people have been so brainwashed by our school system in the last 30 years that this is what they actually believe, that the world would be a better place without the United States. Well, I'll guarantee you one thing, if it wasn't for the United States, we'd all be either speaking German or Japanese. But that goes beyond any logic that they are ever taught in school. You see, everything about America is bad. Everything about Karl Marx and communism is good. And even in your state there, they tore down Christopher Columbus and they erected a statue of Joseph Stalin. Right here, right in Washington, you know, the state of Washington. And you just go, what is the logic behind this? This is absolutely, he was a murdering tetrarch. They estimate over 100 million people have died at the advance of communism and destroy common people. Mao Zedong, the first dictator of communist China, murdered 50, they estimate 50 million of his own people. Joseph Stalin, 20 million fellow Russians. And the list goes on and on. They estimate Fidel Castro, 1 million Cubans that didn't go along with his crazy policies. This is just part of it. And then we have that avowed in our own Congress. We have people that are avowed socialist communists running for president, running for all kinds of stuff. And this doesn't bother anybody? So I've got to say the dumbing down of America has been a complete success. Insomuch that you think you'll have a nation with porous borders. Let me share this with you. There's been no nation in the history of the world that's ever sustained itself without borders. Remember, the Roman Empire was never conquered. Its borders were overran. Well, that's part of history I think they've taken to heart. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the interesting thing about your comment there, Rick, is when you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 yes. and on, it makes it very clear. Paul makes it very clear that there is a judgment from God that we could maybe call it the judgment of abandonment. When men continually suppress the truth of God and continue in ungodliness, which is sin against God, and unrighteousness, which is sin against fellow man, when we continue into that, and then we refuse to worship God and recognize Him as the Creator and all that we have, once we do that, then the Bible makes it clear that God then gives us over to the sin that we want. And one of the hallmarks of that happening, one of the hallmarks in a society that God has given that nation over and has abandoned them, is the sin of homosexuality. That's why Paul highlights it in the middle of that section of that chapter between verses 18 and 32. And I'm telling you, we are watching this in America. This is a sign, I believe, that God has turned us over to judgment. And the judgment is we are going to reap what we have sown, because rather than wanting Him and recognizing Him and worshiping Him, we have worshiped ourselves. We have worshiped the things that we want. And Paul makes that very clear, that this is the wrath of God. And here's what it begins to look like. And I'm telling you, as Mike said, when you begin to look at America, you can see it looks like, to a great degree, God has taken his hand off America and he's letting us have our own way. And I think that's why it's important for believers to make sure their lives are right. You know, as it says in the Old Testament, as Solomon prayed when he dedicated the temple, believers need to confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, humble ourselves before the Lord, and cry out to God to heal our land. Peter, you know, said that when judgment comes, it starts in the house of God. And I think as believers, we need to get our lives right with the Lord and be the salt and light God's called us to be, because if we don't, and when we don't, this is what happens. And I also believe too, Mike, you can't help but read 2 Timothy chapter 3 to see when you read what Paul has to say about the latter days and these dangerous, perilous times that are coming. Paul describes, I think he uses like 18 different words to describe the way people, the general disposition of people during the last days. I'm telling you, we're seeing all that in America right now.
Amen. Mike. Hope that helps, Rick.
Well, I want to make a comment. Hello?
Very quickly, we have a lot of callers, but yeah, if you got just real quick, what did you want to say?
Well, Jesus and the last people with a bottom. And I think a lot of demon-possessed people are running around with all these mass shootings.
Well, your phone is breaking up so bad we can't hear. Maybe we'll get this fixed in the next day or so, and we can do that. But I hope that answers it for you. Stay online if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. And again, you'll hear how broken up it really is. Let's go to Donald in Texas. Hi, welcome. Yes, how may we help?
I like the way he explained it. But anyway, yeah, I got a question, and this question I'm going to ask, and, you know, I be hearing, you know, a lot of Christian, you know, and LGBT people that if they repent, and then if they commit suicide, they'll go to heaven. And I know it's script, you know, one script like when the Bible says it's a time to be born, it's a time to die.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's broken up so bad I can barely understand it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Mike, I think he was asking, you know, if a person's a Christian, if they have repented and then they commit suicide, do they go to heaven? I would say, first of all, number one, we can't make that judgment because we're not God. I would say this. I would say, number one, that concerning suicide, I think... You know, this is a very delicate issue. It's an issue that, you know, with my family in my life has touched my life. And so we want to be very careful, you know, in when we explain these things and say these things, but we also want to be biblical. And here's what I would say. Number one, suicide is a sin in the Bible. Why? Because it's self-murder. That's what it is. The Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. And that's what suicide is. It is self-murder, number one. It's also a sin that once it's committed, it's final. There's a finality to it. There's no way to repent of it or confess it before the Lord. There's no way to deal with that. It's a decision where also the person takes from the hand of God his power of being sovereign over life and death, and we take that from his hand and we take it to ourselves and say, you know what, I'm now going to be the judge and the jury and the executioner. And I will also say this, when it comes to suicide, there are no positive examples of anyone who committed suicide in the Bible. Every one of those people were people who had abandoned God for selfish reasons. And they were overcome, just like Judas, overcome, not with repentance, but with remorse. And so I think we have to understand that about suicide. Now, in saying that, I think it's also important for us to understand that when it comes to a Christian committing suicide, I think it's important to understand the situation the person's in, because those things can be very complex and complicated. Okay, there could be mental issues there. There could be a lot of circumstances where it would be difficult for us just to go to book, chapter, and verse and say, boom, there it is. I think number one, understanding what I just said about suicide should deter any Christian from ever allowing themselves to be overcome with these thoughts and these feelings to where they think that that is a good option for them. But at the same time, the fact that we are not God, we cannot make the final decision when a person does this. Now, if an unbeliever commits suicide, well, we know they're not going to heaven, because if they died by natural causes and they were still unsaved, they're not going to make it to the kingdom of God. They're not going to make it to heaven without faith in Christ and repentance of sin. But when it comes to a believer, if a believer commits suicide, I think the best thing for us to do is just to, in our hearts and minds, is just say, Lord, listen, this was your son and daughter. You know all the circumstances. There's information that God knows that we don't know or may never know. And so I would say this, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 18, whenever God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he and two angels appeared to Abraham and, you know, had a discussion with, ate a meal and had a discussion with Abraham. And then the Lord was left alone. Abraham was left alone with the Lord. And whenever Abraham was asking the Lord, you know, if there were 50 righteous in Sodom, would you destroy them? And, you know, the scenario where he goes, you know, 50, then 40, then 30, and goes all the way down to 10. And the Lord said, no, if I find 10 righteous, I won't destroy it. But what's interesting is Abraham made a comment to God that I think really helps all of us in these situations bring a lot of peace. And he said this, will not the God of the earth do right? And that's where I guide people in situations like this. Rather than, you know, me say something to them, number one, that's going to hurt them terribly. If I say, well, yeah, you know, even though we're a Christian, they're in hell. I mean, that's going to rip the people's heart out. The survivors are already in enough pain enough. What I find comfort in, and in my own situation with my biological father having committed suicide and then my stepfather having basically committed a slow suicide with drugs, what I take comfort in is the fact that God knows their situation, everything about them, why they did what they did, and I'm trusting him to be the judge. And I know that God, when he judges everyone, he will do it right. And that's what I take peace in. I don't take peace in the fact that they made the right decision or didn't. I take peace in the fact and comfort in the fact that I know God is going to treat everybody the way they should be treated and fairly, because he has all the information on the day of judgment. And so that brings me a lot of comfort. Mike?
Yeah, Romans 14:23, it says basically that whatever is not of faith is sin. Mm-hmm. And so if a person kills himself, they're denying faith. Now, I don't want to say they automatically go to hell, because I believe there is mental illness that comes in and plays into these different things. But it is not a place guaranteed in Scripture. And I've heard people say, oh, yeah, well, if you commit suicide, you're going to go to heaven. That is not what the Bible says. They're adding to God's word. I love these people, but they say things that aren't biblical. I think they say things sometimes to bring comfort to those who have lost somebody through suicide. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't want to give people false hope. I don't want to tell them stories that aren't true. Because, again, the Bible doesn't say that this is the direct result of somebody who kills themselves. Now, again, we know Samson knew that he was probably going to die when he pushed the pillars in, listed as a champion of faith in the book of Hebrews. I think he knew he was going to die when he pushed those pillars in and brought everything down on the house of the Philistines. More died in that than in his entire life. But I think there's a difference between dying in warfare and just because things are overwhelming. Remember, nothing is so constant as change. You look at Joseph in prison, they're forgotten by everybody. And the butler remembered he could interpret dreams, told Pharaoh he was brought out of prison, and he went from prison to prime minister in a day. Nothing is so constant as change. And we as Christians have to understand this is the way God works. Look at the book of Job, for instance. Everything went wrong for him until God reversed it all and restored back to him. So I believe this is the way it is. Look at Jesus dying on the cross. All is lost. He was buried, put in the tomb. We thought we had hoped for him to be the Messiah, but he's not. Then he raises from the dead. Everything changes. So nothing is as constant as change. And so I believe that we have to trust God, through those times, I would never say, oh, yeah, a person that kills themselves as a Christian goes to heaven. The Bible does not teach that. I know God's a fair God, but again, I don't know all those situations, and I certainly wouldn't want to give anybody false hope. Hope that helps. Stay online. Send you out books and DVDs. Thanks, Scott, for being on. If you didn't get on today, we'll put you back on tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have our problems fixed. God bless you. Good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.